God's grace, His mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In these Wednesday Advent services, we are looking at a theme of the temples of God in the Bible. And remember, the word temple means a place where a God dwells, namely the place where God dwells with us in the midst of His people. And today, what I'd like to look with you at is the temple of the tent of meeting in the wilderness in the days of Moses. Because at Christmas time, what are we celebrating? That God Himself has come to be with us in the person of Jesus, that we might live with Him forever. And God showed this in the days of the Old Testament, which we'll look at as sort of a roadmap or a copy, a small copy of what's really taking place in heaven. And so if we can understand what God set up in the days of the Old Testament, and I know we looked at this a few years ago, but I'll review you today if you don't remember it, a roadmap as to how to get to be with God. Because for man to dwell with God is not an easy thing. What's the problem? Well, in Isaiah chapter 59, God says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or His ear dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and God, and your sins have hid His face from you so that He does not hear." So, here is man. Here is you. In the days of the Old Testament, God dwelt in a tent. Around this, if you'll picture it, are hundreds of thousands of the people of Israel. And here is a curtain that goes around it. We're going to talk about this, the outer court. And then inside here is a special curtain, the holy place where the priests went. And then in here is the Ark of the Covenant. Over it was the mercy seat, and that is where God dwelt with His people, the shining glory of God in the Holy of Holies. But if this is you, Joe Israel, walking along outside of the tent, even though God's in the midst of you, there's that problem, sin, separating a wall and a barrier between you and God. And so what we have to do is get this man, get you, get people to dwell here in the Holy of Holy place with God where He is. But can you just get there in any way you want? Can you climb under the back curtain here and slip in and see God? There's no way you could possibly do that, because you would be slain instantly. A sinful person cannot enter into the presence of a holy God unless God provides a particular way to deal with sin. If He can remove your sin, you can get to be in there. So let's look today at the roadmap that God has provided in the days of Moses to get to be with God. Because as I said before, and this is Hebrews chapter 8, it says, they, in the Old Testament, they serve a copy or a shadow of the heavenly sanctuary. So this is a picture in small miniature on earth of what's really going on in heaven. And it's supposed to point us to Christ. So let's take a look. So here you are, Joe Israelite, and you want to go to be with God ultimately. What's the first barrier between God and man? Is this outer curtain here. It was a white linen that went around the outside of the temple, of the tent in the wilderness. And we read about it. Exodus 27, verse 9. God said to Moses, "You shall make the court of the tabernacle on the south side. The court of the court shall have hangings of fine twined linen 100 cubits long for one side." And it goes on and on. So all the way around here is a curtain. There is a separation between God and His people to protect them from the power of His presence since they have sin. Can you slip in back the outside of the curtain here? No, you can't do that. But there is a way in. The way in is called the door or the gate. Let's take a look at that. It says, For the gate of the court, there shall be a screen 20 cubits long of blue and purple and scarlet stuff and fine twine linen. Those are all the colors. And white, fine twine linen is white. And it said, she'll have embroidered needlework. And so there's one way in. If you want to go to be with God, there's one way. It's called the door. Remember, I think it's John 8, Jesus said, I go away and you'll seek me and you'll die in your sin. Where I am, you cannot come. I'm going here. You can't just come there. You can't just come to heaven. You'll die in your sin. But he does say there is a gate in these days. There is a door. And what does Jesus say? The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. The way is, and those who find it are few, but the way is broad and easy that leads to destruction. So there is a door. And what do we learn in John 10? Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will go in and out and find pasture. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And so Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door of the tabernacle. He says in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, except through me, except through that door. So already, in this roadmap God gives us in the Old Testament, we see that the way to the Father is through Jesus Christ, the door. That's what he's telling us. What's the next thing we come to here? Number three is the burnt offering altar. That's Exodus 27. Let's read about that. God said to Moses, you shall make an altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be square and its height shall be 3 cubits. So there's an altar here as soon as you get in the door. And what do you do on an altar? You slay an animal. You sacrifice it. We learn about what is slain on that altar. God said in Exodus 29, verse 38 to Moses, now this is what you shall offer upon the altar. 2 lambs, a year old, day by day, continually. So if you want to be if you're a sinful man and you're seeking to go to God, you have to go through the door, and you can't get to the Father except by the blood of a lamb. This is pointing forward to the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and it adds new light to what John the Baptist said when he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And why do you have to have a lamb slain there? Leviticus. God says this, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I've given it for you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that works atonement by reason of the life. So, on the way to the Father, we go through Jesus the door. We go through the blood of the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ. You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Praise be to God. He's showing us the roadmap right here in the Old Testament. So, you've gone through these two. What's next? You come to water, which is a laver. We read about that also in Exodus here. Exodus 30, verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, you shall make a laver of bronze with its base of bronze for washing. And you shall put it between the tent of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it, with which Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet when they go into the tent of meeting up here, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. They shall wash their hands and feet, lest they die. It shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his descendants throughout their generations. So on the way to the Father, sinful Joe Israelite, you and me, go through the door, they're there, and we get to water. If you try to enter the holy place and the holy of holies without washing, you die. You won't make it. But look at the wonderful news that this teaches us. Jesus says, John 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus says in John 13:8 to Peter, he says, if I don't wash you, you have no part in me. But guess what? If I do wash you, you do have a part in me. Ananias told Paul, and now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. And it was prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 36. God said, I'll sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I'll put within you. Baptism. On your way to the Father, God has water, the water in the Word of God's Holy Spirit, to wash us of our sins. Praise be to God. You've been baptized. You've come this far. Now we enter to the tent for the priests, the holy place, and you enter by a door. Now we've already covered that. That's down here. Same thing. Jesus says, I'm the door, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. After that, as you enter into this part of the tent, on your left side as you walk in, you see a lampstand. Let's read about the lampstand, Exodus 25, verse 31. What do we read there? It says, and you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. And he gives a great description of it. It looks actually like this, with except for one less branch. Three branches on one side, three branches on the other side. And you shall make seven lamps for it, and the lamps shall be set up so as to give light upon the space in front of it. This is a dark place, really, in here, but the lamp gives light to that area perpetually. What does Jesus say in, I think it's John chapter 8 again? Let's see. John 8. And again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who believes in me, he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So who is this? It's Jesus once again, on the way to the Father. Now you go looking to your right inside here, you get to a table with bread upon it. Exodus 25, verse 23. And you shall make a table, Moses, of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, etc. It gives the descriptions of it. Verse 30. And you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me always. On your way to God, God has bread for you to eat. And what does Jesus say in John chapter 6? I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I'm seeing a pattern here. Jesus, 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 Jesus so far. Now, though, we're getting close to God the Father. This is the veil, which we'll talk about in a moment. But first you get to something called the altar of incense. Exodus 30, verse 1. God said to Moses, you shall make an altar to burn incense upon of acacia wood. You shall make it. And what happens there? You're burning incense. Incense are the prayers of the saints. This is a place where prayers are offered before God right before you enter into the Holy of Holies. And let me see, the verse I wanted to read to you there was Hebrews 7:23. Hebrews 7:23. Oh, yes. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he, Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Isn't that great? Jesus himself is interceding for you before the Father. Once again, it's Jesus Christ. Now we're at the very threshold. There is a veil. I shouldn't keep closing this Bible. I keep opening it again. The veil is found in Exodus 26, verse 33. God says to Moses, and you shall hang the veil from the clasps and bring the ark of the testimony in thither within the veil, and the veil shall separate you for you, the holy place, from the most holy, the place where God is dwelling over this. So there is a veil that lies between even the holy place and the Holy of Holies. But what do we read in Matthew chapter 27? And Jesus once again cried with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. At Jesus' death, this temple, the veil, was opened. The way to the Father was opened at Jesus' death because why? Hebrews chapter 9. This is so good. Please, this is awesome. Hebrews 9, verse 6. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go continually into the outer court performing their ritual duties. But into the second, only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, and not without taking blood which he offers for the errors of the people. Now, what does it say a few verses later? But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, taking not the blood of calves and goats, but his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Jesus actually entered into not just a copy on earth. It was pointing to the point, look, only the high priest could go in here once a year for the sins of the people that they might be atoned for and forgiven. They took blood in there. You've got to go in there with blood. Jesus, when he came, did all this for us, tore the veil of the temple in two, entered into heaven, the court of God there, with his own blood upon the mercy seat, thus securing for you an eternal redemption. What a wonderful thing. Jesus the door, Jesus the Lamb, Jesus in the waters of baptism, Jesus the light of the world, Jesus the bread of life, Jesus our great praying high priest, Jesus the high priest in the temple of God making atonement for the sins of the people. Therefore, Joe Israelite now, believing on the Lord, Joe you, believing on the Lord Jesus, enters by the door, enters by the blood of the Lamb, enters by baptism, by the door, by the light of the world, by the bread of life, through Jesus the high priest, through the veil, into the temple of God, there to be a royal priest to God, coming by the blood of Jesus with all great confidence, because now we get to the mercy seat, and we read about that in, that's the last one, Exodus 25, 21, which reads, "And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I shall give you," watch this, "there I will meet with you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim that are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak with you of all that I give you in commandment for the people of Israel." Do you know how precious you are in God's sight? How desperately he desires to be with you? How desperately he desires to make a path for you that you might enter boldly into his presence to offer your prayers, and you might enter into his throne room as beloved children, as royal priests by the blood of the Lamb, to live with him forever, that he might live in you forever. And this is what we're celebrating this Christmas season and forever. His name, friends, is Emmanuel, God with us. It's by Jesus, 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 by Jesus. Praise be to God through Jesus Christ. Amen.